Well, good morning. My name's Mike Souter. I'm lead pastor here at Grace. We're nearing the end of our fall sermon series entitled Sent. We've been meditating all fall on this statement that Jesus once made, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And so over the past 6 weeks, we've looked in English and in our Spanish services, we've been reminded that we have been sent to be light. We've been sent with the best news ever of God's forgiveness and sent with our own story of how that forgiveness has changed us. We've been sent with love. We've been sent with power. And today, we'll see how we are sent into suffering for the sake of Christ. So if you could lock the back doors, we'll just go ahead and... We don't talk about that a lot, especially as charismatics. Can we be honest? It's all about the victory and all that's good. All that's good, and we should always pursue and always believe in victory and an overcoming. But we are going to suffer. We're going to conclude our service today with baptisms, something that Jesus sent us to provide people as a way of identifying ourselves with him. Let's pray just one more time briefly. God, I don't want to make light of it. There are people suffering all over the world for your name. God, would you give us a deposit today? Would you give us something that would give us courage to follow you faithfully? Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are trying to get someone to join you in something, it's really easy to sell it. It's easy to skip over all the challenges of something and emphasize the easy parts, emphasize the fun parts, or maybe that's just me in my weird way. It's easy to tell them how awesome this thing is going to be if they say yes, and skip over the inevitable downsides that come with something, if you know what I mean. On Monday, we drove up to D.C. and we spent the day there with Paul and Becky Toon and their kids. And it was an absolutely perfectly beautiful fall day. And so we spent a lot of time walking. We parked over by the museums and we walked through the museums. And then we walked over to the Washington Capitol Monument. And then we the Washington Monument. And then we walked over to the Jefferson Monument. And then we continued around to the FDR and the MLK. And we're just walking and walking and walking. We walked almost 7 miles that day. I discovered later on my phone. We should have had like green t-shirt, neon t-shirts, like Grace Tribe or something, so we could find each other. Anyway, at one point, we are the farthest distance yet from the van, and our daughter Eva asks me, Daddy, how far is it back to the van? So I pull out my phone, I look it up on my phone, quickly ignore what I see, and I hear myself saying, it's right over there, just beyond those trees, which was true, by the way, but apparently I didn't want to say the distance out loud. We do this all the time without even thinking of that. We do it all the time. We spin things. We're not lying exactly. We're just being selective in how we tell something. Tweaking the truth just a little to get the response that we want. Jesus doesn't play any of those games. In fact, he does the opposite. Whoever does not take up their cross, Jesus said, and follow me, is not worthy of me. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. There's no sales, there's no politics, there's no spinning, just the hardcore truth with Jesus, 24/7. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even hate their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Okay, I know I'm just kind of pulling these statements out of context, but the point is this. Here's the point. The suffering that Jesus promised we would experience as we are sent, that suffering is not because of our own dumb decisions. It's actually the result of our very right decisions. According to Jesus, trouble is an inevitable result of following him. Trouble is an inevitable result of following Christ. Why would you follow someone who said all that? Why would you follow someone who said any of those words ever? Why would you say yes to a leader who promises suffering and pain as a result of following him? As bad as trouble and persecution is, there is something far greater than a life of ease and order. There is something worth giving your blood, sweat, and tears, your very life for. There is something that makes any and every sacrifice worth it. And Jesus knew that this something would not only help his followers get through that suffering, but thrive through it. And that something is him. The very best God can give us isn't things, it's not courage, it's not peace. The very best he can give you, his full remedy for suffering, is himself. A time is coming, Jesus said, like hours before he was arrested. A time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. I've told you these things so that in me, with me, there, you would have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. And the word trouble here means distress. It means intense pressure with no perceptible way out of the pressure. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I've overcome it, Jesus is saying. And since you are in me, since you are with me, you'll overcome it too. 23 times throughout the scriptures, God promised, I will be with you. I will be with you. He said that to Abraham and Sarah, to Moses, to Gideon, to Solomon, to Joshua. We see that phrase all throughout the scripture. And we hear Jesus saying it to his followers just before he returns to heaven. Ironically enough, surely I'll be with you all the time. All the time, Jesus says, I'll be with you to the very end of the world. I will be with you. I will be with you is Jesus' solution to human suffering. His presence, his spirit, ever since that day, is the plan A, the plan B, the plan C. It's the main plan and it's the backup plan. I will be with you. So if you stay close to him, if you push further into your relationship with Christ instead of pushing away from him when you're under pressure, then you'll find a love and you'll show the world a love they will not see any other way. I think of love as this thing with all these different facets, and there is this facet of love that will only be seen through how we deal with pain and betrayal and suffering, specifically for when we're doing the right thing. In 1944, near the end of the Jewish Holocaust, Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were arrested by the Nazis for hiding Jews in their home in Holland. How many of you know about Corrie ten Boom? Along with the rest of their family, they were sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp where Betsy, Corrie's sister, died from starvation days before Corrie's miraculous release on December 31st, 1944. Inspired by her sister Betsy's example of love amid extreme cruelty, Corrie became a missionary traveling the world specifically to preach about the forgiveness of God. And in her autobiography, The Hiding Place, Corrie tells this incredible story of coming face to face with one of her former tormentors less than 3 years after she was released. I'm going to read this word for word. It's from The Hiding Place. Corey says this: "It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a gray overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had spoken. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others who were leaving. One moment, I saw his overcoat and the brown hat. The next, I saw a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this very man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, her ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Oh, Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland, and this man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fraulein, I think that's like Miss. His hand came out, will you forgive me? And I stood there, I, whose sins had every day to be forgiven, and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who've injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth started to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. I don't know how many times I've heard that story. And every time I do, it just wrecks me. I know God a little better now, having heard that story. I know God a little better. I love him more. I know a little more of his intensely, powerful love, for his unstoppable love for me and for people I don't really love, TBH. Corey and Betsy have given us a gift here. They've given us evidence. You want to talk about apologetics? This is evidence of a love that can only be seen through suffering and forgiveness. I don't know why humanity has to suffer like people are right now in Israel and Gaza and Lewiston, Maine, and right here in this room. I don't know. But I know this. When you say yes to God despite suffering, when you say yes to enduring suffering faithfully for the sake of Christ, you get God in a new way. You get God on another level. And with him, you get more of everything he has. Catherine talked about this last week. You get even more of your inheritance now. You get his peace. His peace becomes your peace. His courage and love and joy become yours in an infinitely greater way. You'll find out there in every type of humanism and secular niceties. This is why the Apostle Paul said to the Philippian church, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attaining to the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection has two meanings here. The first is a resurrection into the second life, that is after this one. But it also means a resurrected life for today, for right now, until we die. We're going to baptize a few people now. And so if you are one of those amazing people, if you could come forward. And anyone helping with the baptism. At Grace Covenant, we offer baptisms 3 or 4 times a year or more if we need to. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward commitment, but it is far more than a sign or a symbol. Baptism is a holy sacrament. It's a ceremony or a ritual where a divine grace of God is imparted to the person when it's done in faith. Like the sacrament of marriage that makes public this invisible love between a couple, baptism makes public and permanent this sort of invisible, at least at first, relationship with Christ. Baptism is this public confirmation of our forgiveness in Christ, our commitment to Christ, our unity with Christ's body. That's us. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wrote, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." You ever think about how bizarre the whole, well, you haven't done it yet, but it's a strange thing to be baptized. You go under the water. We go into the water to express the fact that we are as good as dead without God's forgiveness. We come out of the water to identify with the resurrection power of Christ and to celebrate that resurrection. We go into the water. You just lay there and someone lowers you down and pushes you under if needed, to express total surrender to trying to save ourselves. It's a surrender to thinking you can control and fix everything, which you can't do anyway, but we're so prone to trying. We come out of the water to symbolize this new birth, this being reborn into the fullness of life because of our intimacy with Christ. So, we have four amazing people here. And I'd like to introduce you all. You've got a microphone. Can we get your name first? Just give us your full name. Just talk slowly and give us your full name. Annabelle Bowman. It's a pretty name. You know, more than us. It's more than those of us in this room that just heard those names. Well, we're going to give you each a chance to share a testimony about your reason for wanting to be baptized. But before we do that, I'd like to ask you three different questions that you have seen these before. So, you know, it's not like we're just springing them on them right now. First question is, do you believe in God? Good. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died for your sins and he rose again on the third day that you might have everlasting life and be totally forgiven from your sins? That's a good deal right there. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and are you willing to serve him all of your life? Okay. So, we're going to start with you, dear, and I'll just hold the microphone for you. Just take your time and share with us. Okay, what's the reason you want to be baptized?
I want to get baptized because I want to be closer to God. I want to grow in my faith. God created my brother. God created my mom and dad who created me.
Amen. All right. That's very good. Very good, Annabelle. Okay. Say your name again for us. And
Fisher Wallace.
Go ahead.
I have chosen to be baptized today because I want to give myself to God and want him to always be part of my life. He has helped me with all my physical struggles and all the hard stuff in life. He is always with me when there is a struggle and gets me through everything.
Amen. That's very good. All right. So give us your name and then go ahead.
My name is Nora Wallace, and the reason I am here to be baptized today is because I am ready to fully give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus to hold my hand through the saddest days and the happiest. I know Jesus is truly the only steady thing to count on in life. Jesus has given me so, so much, and I can't think of any better way to say thank you other than truly committing to him and his everlasting love. If I could think of one thing of the many things that Jesus has blessed me with, it is bravery. I used to not open up or be that talkative to many people, but Jesus has given me the confidence to, especially when it comes to sharing about my faith and Jesus's love. My favorite verse lines up to this very well. The verse is Romans 8:31. The verse reads, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" This really speaks to my heart. As I said, I used to never be talkative, scared of what people would think of me and the judgmental looks that they might give. God has shown me that he is right beside me, holding my hand through all these situations, giving me his strength. And that's why I'm here today, because I know that God's strength will and love will forever sustain me. I want everyone to know my Lord and how much I love him. He is my Savior, and I want to commit to loving him every day.
Right on. This is very good. Okay, what's your name?
My name is Hattie Henry. I've been so blessed to have grown up in a Christian home. I've been going to church since before I can remember. My testimony might not seem like anything crazy to most, but the way God has worked in my life is miraculous. I've always known of God and prayed that prayer of giving my life to him so many times, but it wasn't until recently that I've started making my walk with him more personal. About a year ago, my life was starting to go south. I was hanging around the wrong people, making the wrong decisions, and growing away from Christ. It started to get to the point where I was losing myself, but God had greater plans. It wasn't until I went to a church camp with my youth group this summer that things started turning back around. That week was the most life-changing experience I think I've ever had. God touched me so directly and so deeply that week. After that week, he also answered my prayers of filling my life with friends that walk with me in my faith. I have had the idea of getting baptized in the back of my mind for a very long time, and I finally decided to stop letting the devil drag me down by the fear and anxiety he tries to put in my head. I'm here today to publicly surrender my life to Jesus.
Amen. Woo! All right. I want you guys come on over here now. Boy, let's all go to camp for sure.
Baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Elizabeth Henry, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
By the authority invested me by the Lord Jesus Christ, I do hereby baptize you, Fisher, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.
All right, could you stand? We're going to worship together. Yeah, I am going to pray over them. Yes, I am. Come on up here, y'all. Yeah. Bert, Luke, come over here. Will you? Stand right in here. You guys can stand behind him if you want. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. To know him in a deeper way, to have courage to follow him, to hear his voice clearly, to know the peace and the joy and the creativity that can only come from Him. And to be men and women that bring many others into His great kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, give him a big round of applause. Okay, let's worship. There's a comment from, or Corrie ten Boom's sister Betsy's last words were these. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And as I read that, I envisioned people standing in mud and trying to find their way and finally finding bedrock, the love of Christ. And so if you're in some kind of situation and you feel like you're like can't quite find your footing, there's no pit so deep that God's love isn't still there somehow. So we're gonna have a time of ministry. I want to invite our ministry team forward to pray with people for any reason of any kind. But if you're in some type of suffering or trouble and you feel like you just can't find your footing, please don't leave here without the opportunity to be prayed for. And our next baptism isn't scheduled till like end of January, but we'll do it like next week. We will do it again soon if we have people. So call the church office, go online, sign up. If God's stirring something in you, you haven't been baptized. Let's pray. God, thank you for your great love that is not diminished in any way by suffering. God, I pray that as you send us out today, even as we encounter difficulty, we would be reminded that you're with us, that you're for us, that you're, like Catherine said earlier, you are saying yes to us. And I pray that you would give us courage to stay close to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.